Episode 12, Leading Chaos Color. Hello and welcome to the Leading Chaos Podcast. I am Rhea Windcaller, your host of this weekly podcast where we take chaos head on and make it manageable. Chaos is disorder, confusion, and at its worst, pandemonium. No matter who you are, where you are, or what you do, chaos will appear when you least expect it. So let's get started. Are you ready to lead chaos? Let's do it. Are you like me, sometimes bewildered by the right selection of color to choose for, let's say, your logo, your website, your business, or personal profile? Geez, selecting the right color can either make your brand pop or make it flop. I'm speaking to an authority on color in this podcast and sharing with you a simple tool that makes color selection easy for everyone. I am thrilled to speak with Gail Callahan and have her help us lead color chaos. She is well known in the craft world as a kangaroo dyer, though she does not hail from down under, aka Australia. She does respect the mother kangaroo's ability to keep her kid, or Joey, in the front pouch while also keeping her hands free. Which goes to show you that kangaroos definitely have an edge up on human parents as leaders of chaos. Gail is the author of Hand Dyeing Yarn and Fleece, which is published by Story Press. She has a vast knowledge on dyeing wool and fabrics. Today, though, she is here to speak about colors and provide us with tips on color selection as the creator of the Color Grid, an amazingly simple tool that takes the guesswork out of color symmetry. Gail Callahan, welcome to the Leading Chaos Podcast.
Hi, Rhea. Thank you for including me. I'm excited about talking with you today.
Well, I've been really, really excited leading up to this moment because I work quite a bit with color. I do oil painting to kind of work on my stress. And of course, I have my home and my wall. So before we get into the color grid, I was thinking about speaking to you. And my first thought was imagining that you're probably not sitting in a room that is white, though I could be wrong. So could you tell us, what did the creator of the color grid choose for the walls in your home?
Oh, wow. That's a good question because I love color everywhere and I don't really do too much planning. I just kind of put things together. The room I'm sitting in right now has actually three walls with a green family and one wall, which is a red family. And now this room has been painted this color for probably 15 years, and it was way before my color grid. And I'm looking at them now saying, gee, this would play it on the color grid as one of the walls being a pop that would give me the good color scheme.
So we're going to have to get into that because you mentioned the pop, and I know that's a big piece of the color grid. But let me have a little lead up to this because the audience that listens to the Leading Chaos Podcast, you know, pretty busy people and folks who really want to take charge of their life, even more than they are currently. And yet picking a color, it seems like the most simplest task in the world. And yet it can feel so overwhelming. You know, you go to the paint store, you get your little paint stick and you go back and you put it up against the wall and you say, oh, great. That cocoa or yellow, that's going to be great. And then you look at your couch and that's one color. You look at your rug, it's another color. And before you know it, you're either having an argument with who wants what color or you're feeling really overwhelmed. So could you give us a little background on the simplicity and how the color grid works? Maybe a little bit of history on that before we get into helping us solve these really seemingly simple tasks.
Okay, Rhea. I'll give you a little background on how it happened. And I work at a yarn store in Northampton called Webb's. And about 7 or 8 years ago, a woman came in with her fleece from her sheep, and we started talking about color. And I asked her if she had ever dyed it, and she said she was afraid to. So I invited Gwen Stege up to my house here in Greenfield to dye in my studio. And at the end of the day, she said, have you ever thought about writing a book? Because I'm an editor for Story Publishing and you should write a book. So it sort of happened randomly that the book came about. But in the process of writing the book, when it came to the color chapter, I told her I didn't want a color wheel because every book you pick up in any medium, whether it be painting, oil painting or decorating or crewel embroidery, anything, has some sort of color wheel. And I personally never understood it. So I was forced to kind of rethink how to talk about color. And so in the content of my book, Hand Dyeing Yarn and Fleece, I had my first iteration of the color grid. And that was, to me, the most exciting part of the whole book. So after the book came out, I talked to the publisher at Story about doing a freestanding unit, because you know most people don't dye yarn and fleece, and they would never open the book and read the color chapter. So I felt that it was going to be hidden in this book. And they gave me some help, and after 2 years, we came up with our first color grid. And it is a tool for choosing and using color in any medium. It doesn't just apply to fiber. Actually, my favorite order is from a tattoo parlor. So anybody who's interested in color, who wants to play with color, who wants to build their confidence using color, it's a great tool to just pick up and play with.
So. Yeah. And you just said a whole lot there. And I want to back up a little bit. And if you don't know this woman, her name is Gail Callahan. She's talking about the color grid. And you mentioned Northampton. That is Northampton, Massachusetts. And the store you mentioned was Webb's. And we'll provide a link to that shop on the show notes here. And that's an amazing story, meeting an editor. And that's kind of like an author or a wannabe author's dream come true. What? What's that? That's totally like hitting the lotto.
It is. It's totally accidental. And I really feel, in my experience, the more I give knowledge away, it comes back to me tenfold. Mm-hmm. I just feel the more I share what I know, it's just like, bread on the water. It comes back in people's experiences, and it just gets me very excited.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, certainly you are here to help us all, wade through this color madness. So the color wheel, that is known as kind of you mentioned that as the primary colors, and we've all most likely have seen that in grade school, a circular wheel, and you kind of spin it. And if you are a painter or artist or, just working with kids, you might see that. But I agree with you. I don't really call to that. To choose colors. It's never made sense to me. So it's interesting to hear you say that. And then I think most folks might not even have any kind of knowledge about the color wheel, but they use those little paint sticks that you get at the color store. That's if you're not in the area of, working and dyeing yarn or wool. Is yarn and wool the same thing, by the way?
Actually, wool is what is made into yarn. Mm-hmm. Wool is the fiber that is used to be spun into yarn. And it's interesting, the whole culture of fiber and yarn and felting and all this stuff is just it's just a huge niche market. And mm-hmm. There are questions like that come up a lot. Yarn and wool would be kind of used interchangeably, but the wool is what is spun into yarn.
Right. And
I hope that answers your question.
Right. I have no experience on that. I would love to think that I could knit maybe a scarf, but I think I tried when I was a kid and that went a little lopsided. But I know that there's hope if you want to do that, and you have a great resource on your book, which we will talk a little bit, but let's stick with the color grid. So you created this grid, and why don't we tell the listeners a little bit about how to use it and what it exactly looks like. So it's separate from the book, and they could get this online. I see now you could get that online. We'll have a link to that. But how exactly does it work? How do we take that simplicity and bring it forth?
Well, what I like to talk about the comparison between the color wheel, which is an analog clock, and the color grid, which is a digital clock. They have the same science, the same information, only it is just configured in a different way. All the elements are there that are in a color wheel, and the way the color grid is set up, it has a template that you place on this rectangle of color that will isolate the colors that would go together in a combination. So unlike the color wheel, you spin it and you have all the colors that are still showing. The color grid has a template that you place on top of it, and you move around yourself to select where, you know, what colors you want to start with. And then you get in an area, a slot, a window that tells you what will give it a pop or a spark.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about that pop and spark, because right now, like, I'm wearing a pair of jeans. So that's denim. It's blue. And I have a white shirt on with some red. And I'm thinking, well, the red is my spark. And if I was using the color grid, how would I, could I use it for something like that, for just matching clothes? And I even just wonder, is this usable for folks who are colorblind?
The colorblind issue, I don't think would apply. Interestingly enough, I worked with a woman one day at the store who came in, and she was wearing black, white, and red, a very distinguished geometric outfit with a red scarf. And she handed me a skein of yarn, and she asked me what color it was. And I said, well, what color do you think it is? And she said, well, I'm colorblind. So it was clear to me she could see the contrast in color with the black and the white. Mm-hmm. And the red must have been one color she could recognize. And I've heard that people who are colorblind can see the red-orange family. But anyway, so the color grid would be probably difficult for someone who's colorblind. But in relation to your question about your outfit, what you would do is, if you say that you probably have a predominantly, you know, your pants would be larger than your shirt probably in terms of volume, but you would put the template with the circles on the blue colors, and then you would look in the slot to see what appears. And I'm doing one right now, and I can see that if I land on the blue family for your main color, the red family would be your pop. So you did it right. You didn't even know it, Rhea.
Oh, my goodness. Yay.
Joy. Yeah. It's really cool to use this for if someone is getting dressed and they have an outfit and they're unsure of what to put for earrings or a scarf or a pin. Definitely, it's a great way to practice doing something that will give you some pop by using the color grid, taking in the colors from your outfit, and then incorporating what it comes out in the slot, either in some earrings or a scarf.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, guys with ties, that's kind of a classic thing too, which tie goes best. And if this isn't your forte, it seems like the color grid folds up so tight, you know, small, that it could go right into a briefcase on a business trip. And I select a lot of my clothes before I go on business trips to try to match that and bring it all together. And you would think that I have it together, because I picked my red today, it's popping right, but I don't always. And, you know, it shows us what we could do with it. So what are some other, you said that the person who does a tattoo artist, how do they use it?
Well, generally people start a project working with one color. And a lot of times you get focused on that color only, and you continue to work with it. And he said that many of his workers would not have that little spark to give the compliment to the color of the tattoo. Mm. And I can see in my travels, I always am observing logos for Madison Avenue companies. And it really does tend to play out with a color grid, that there is something that gives any color work a pop. And it's important to have it. In one of my PowerPoints, I have one of the classic Van Gogh paintings, which are usually blues and greens, and then you can look and find a poppy or an orange flower. And I took it into Photoshop and erased the red and the orange flowers and put the pieces side by side, and it's startling to see how different it looks without the pop. Mm. So it's a good example of why it works.
Yeah, yeah. So I could think of so many different ways that this could be used to just help us, again, take that guesswork out. It can be really overwhelming. And I know just myself, just painting the walls or painting the house. Is there any tips as you created this grid? How accessible is it out there in the world? Is it something that somebody on the other side of the world could get pretty easily at this point?
Right. We have orders from really, I think we have 50 different countries. We have it on Amazon. It's for sale there. Mm-hmm. We have it on our own website. Unicorn Book sells it. Dharma Trading sells it. These are all resources sort of for people who work with their hands and crafts. Mm-hmm. But we're going into our fourth printing, which is very exciting. And it's really been a grassroots effort on my husband and my part to get it to market, because we don't know anything about the business aspect, and it's been basically I've been like a dog on a bone trying to get it to people. And when they get it, they really get it. We have it at the Portland Museum of Art. My son was at the Louvre, and he left one there and took a picture just to play with me about it. But we're getting it in as many places as we can, because it is a versatile tool. It's not, again, just about fiber. It's about color anywhere. And it does work. It builds people's confidence.
Yeah, yeah. And that's part of leading chaos, is building your own confidence and feeling like you can take this on. One thought I had about the person who's colorblind is, if you actually labeled the squares, I don't know. I don't really know that much about colorblind, but I'm just trying to think out of the box here on the versatility of it, and as a helpful tool to help us navigate that daily life. I don't know if that's
we've had illustrators ask us for the color numbers, the RGB or the CYN, and that's something that we're looking into for the future. And we're also looking to do a wedding planner color grid, which would be a different aesthetic, because our first original color grid is basically using primaries in there, with white or black added. So it's pretty saturated looking. It doesn't look like formal. It's just a good start, and just a relationship with the color families is what we talk about, to get people to understand how they work. And we purposely didn't put names of colors on the grid, because people tend to get a little bit, again, anxious when they have to, what color is that? Well, is that red, blue, or is that, what do you think? Is that a yellow, orange? Or they get very hesitant. And I'll just say, what do you like? Don't worry about the name. Don't worry about it being the labels from the color wheel, like primary, secondary, tertiary, any of those things, because it really doesn't matter. What matters is, what do you like? And you understand what you like when you play with it, looking at your favorite textile, for instance, or your favorite poster, your favorite record label. You can just get the main colors in the circles and just see why what is in the slot as the pop works.
Yeah. Well, I like that. That is the tip, I think, here, is to begin with what you like. And that's really well said, Gail. To not try to go out of your comfort zone if you already have your comfort zone already. And I think we probably choose colors that...
If you look in nature, everything... Sorry.
No, no, go ahead, please.
I think if you look in nature, all the colors go together. Yeah. You could, look in autumn and you look at all the bright colors, and every single thing goes together. It's when you have to start selecting and honing down your choices is when people get nervous, because you have to eliminate colors you can't use. You can't use every color in a room easily, mm-hmm. or most people don't. But it's when you all color goes together. It's when you have to start honing it down and selecting, choosing, narrowing your choices, is when people tend to get nervous about, oh, is this okay? Is this going to work? So I think that's what I like about the grid, is it hones down your variables. That when you narrow your variables, you get more success in your outcome.
Great. Well, how exciting, and what a wonderful gift to the world to help us maneuver through color. And so how would folks, can you give us a little bit of, are you on Twitter and Facebook? How would folks be able to get a hold of you?
Right. We have a Facebook page, and it's the Kangaroo Dyer, and Kangaroo Dyer is two words. That's our Facebook page. And then we're on Instagram, and it's one word, Kangaroo Dyer. Those are probably our main sources of social media. Mm-hmm. We do have two websites. One is colorgrid.net, which is where we have some videos that will show you how to use the color grid. And then we have kangaroodyer.com, which is where we predominantly have yarns and hand-dyed silks, which is what I do for that business.
Wow. Okay, great. And again, we'll have links to those sites on the show notes for Leading Chaos Podcast. And if folks want to get a hold of you, I know they'll be able to get a hold of you there, or to just Google the Color Grid, Gail Callahan. I know that would bring them right there too. And I just really want to thank you for sharing this amazing tool. I'm thinking, I don't know if you know the show, it's called The Shark Tank, and it's where folks kind of show their wares out to the world. I imagine people have already told you about that.
It's so funny. They have. It's the support has been really exciting to me. I just think people will look up and they'll say, for instance, I'll be somewhere demoing the Color Grid, and two people will come together and look at it, and one person will say, oh, that's the compliment. And the other person who is still staring at the grid will go, oh, I get it. Mm-hmm. And I get goosebumps because people really are, they don't like not being in control over picking up things, and they're worried, and actually there's no wrong way to do it, but for some reason you feel like there's a wrong way, and the people who get it, and that's great. That's probably 10% of the population, but the other percent who don't get it, It thrills me. It thrills me to see them say, I get it. Or, oh, this is ingenious. I never thought of that. You know, mm-hmm. And I get that a lot and continue to get it. And I think that's what sustains me to keep on getting it out there.
Yeah. Yeah. And thank you for doing that. Certainly you've made my life easier just with that inspirational message, because I would like to think that I'm a pretty good oil painter, and I'm a new person to that painter, and I get overwhelmed by the colors, and I'm not sure how to mix and match that. And that's part of the process, but you go into a museum, like you said, and it's like, wow. And anything that kind of brings a little bit more simplicity, and this certainly has. So I want to thank you for speaking with us today on this edition of the Leading Chaos Podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you very much, Rhea. I really appreciate it. And thank you to your audience.
Ooh, I just want to say that Gail Callahan, she is just such a level-headed person, and I'm glad that she's out there in the world helping us with color management, if you will. And I have my Color Grid. If you want to see a very quick little video, you could go to the Leading Chaos Podcast Facebook page. We could certainly use some friends on there. I think I have about 14 or something, but I know there's more friends out in the world. It's just a matter of time. And I put up a very quick time lapse of me opening up my Color Grid and playing around with it. I can't wait to use it more for painting and some of my business work as I select colors and find the perfect match. So again, if you want more info on that, you just go to theleadingchaospodcast.com, and we will have links to this program, the show notes, episode 12. Next week, I will continue working on the sound quality for this podcast. I hope it's working for you. We're on a little bit of a shoestring here, and I look forward to that. As always, this is Rhea Windcaller signing off for now. Please be kind, always be safe, and make sure that when color comes knocking on your door in the form of a decision, choose what you like. That's a good motto in life. Ciao for now.